Your station, KBMY in Billings.
Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the convention, here we are again in Philadelphia, the bride of freedom, the city of the works of God. Last night I saw a thing of great wonder. I saw the delegates to this convention rise in wild exultation to acclaim one of the truly great men of the modern age, Herbert Hoover. Pardon me, sir. It was my great privilege to speak of Herbert Hoover at another convention of this party. My words were received with pleasure at that time. But as soon as I had spoken, the people of our nation rushed to the tents of Baal, and the soul died within them. Tonight, I come to you with another name, lifted by divine favor to your notice. Ladies and gentlemen of the convention, in 1776, your fathers met here. The question before them was, can a people few in number, if joined together in mutual love, pull off the yoke of a distant king and become free? An answer was given to that question. It is called the Declaration of Independence, penned by the incomparable Thomas Jefferson under the voice of Benjamin Franklin. In 1787, your fathers gathered in this city for the second time. The question before them was, can that new people, having thrown off the yoke, set up rules by which to govern themselves? And can they become one in the long journey of freedom down the stretch of time? An answer was given to that question. It is called the Constitution of the United States, to which my name was added in blood precious to every American heart. In 1856, your fathers came to Philadelphia still another time. The question before them was the greatest question man ever asked of man. It was this: can we make a slave into a free man, and shall we attempt to pass? After a while, God stepped out, raised up a man with the answer in his hand. And of that answer tonight, I am the flesh and I am the living soul. As ye, ladies and gentlemen, sit before me, wrapped in thoughts of your children and of their future, a spirit knocks at your door. It is the same spirit that knocked at the door of your illustrious fathers. Listen to him, if you will, as he speaks to you. Neither let us be slandered from our duty by false accusations against us.
Convention need have no concern. A little fire has been stamped out all right.
There's been just a brief little fire on the floor right off to the left of the rostrum, and that's the reason for the stoppage in proceedings right now. But everything's been taken care of.
Ladies and gentlemen of the convention, convention will be in order.
sir.
Delegates to the convention, as you sit, as I said, wrapped in thoughts of your children and of their future, a spirit knocks on your door. It speaks to you, and it speaks to your father. Hear him, listen. Let us not be slandered from our duty by false accusations against us, nor frightened from it by menaces of destruction to the government, nor dungeons to ourselves. Let us have faith that right makes might, and in that faith, let us to the end dare to do our duty as we understand it. That was Lincoln speaking to you. I know his voice. His voice lifted me from rags and chains and stood me before you at this hour, that Lincoln might be seen as well as heard. Ladies and gentlemen of the convention, I rise to second the nomination of a candidate. He awaits no call from this convention. He's already on the field, the sunlight of eternal truth drifting on his stainless steel. He sprang from the soil where our faith was born, the land of our hope. I second the nomination made in the tears of Valley Forge, in the smoky thunders of Bunker Hill. Let it not be said of you, ladies and gentlemen, that under the slander of your hereditary foe and the foe of all free men, that you fled the path of duty. But rather let history write that you heard a voice and knew it, rose and took the field, and there found waiting the fight on your side, God, angels, and his unconquerable star. Ladies and gentlemen of the convention, I second the nomination of the world's ablest statesman, the bravest living American, the greatest living Republican, Robert A. Taft of Ohio.
I have an announcement to be made before proceeding with further nominations. The announcement says, in the event that tonight's session lasts later than midnight, which is a pretty fair guess, it will, daylight saving time, for those returning to Ardmore, Haverford, Bryn Mawr, Paley, and immediate point, the Pennsylvania Railroad will operate a special suburban train to leave the Pennsylvania Station, 30th Street, 1 hour after the close of this session. Pennsylvania Railroad. The nomination of Senator Taft has been duly made and seconded. The next state to desire to present a candidate is the state of California.
Here's another news report. The Milwaukee Sentinel said tonight that Harold Stassen offered to sacrifice his ambition to head the Republican ticket in a grand strategy developed today to stop Dewey's attempted blitz capture of the presidential nomination. The former Minnesota governor offered to throw his strength to Senator Arthur Vandenberg of Michigan. The Sentinel said it was informed by sources close to Stassen. Well, Stassen headquarters has denied that story, and so has the man who is shortly to put Stassen into nomination, Dr. Walter Judd. But there is a possibility that after the first ballot, Stassen might declare for Vandenberg if that should seem desirable.
Dr. Gordon Sproul is now addressing the convention.
This quiet, attentive gathering, so much like my own college halls, has brought me from a little city as far from Philadelphia as it is possible to get and still stay within the boundaries of the continental United States. No hope of place or preferment has brought